So we are continuing in the Sefer Aleshor. We're still in the first Shah. And the topic today is Chevra. Chevra, that's like Baruch Hashem that we've invested a lot in here in this last 3 weeks. But Chevra, how to relate to friends and especially in the yeshiva. So Liot, being amongst friends in yeshiva, where you all have the same goal and you all have the same experience, and it's accompanying all of you and inspiring all of you, you get to be in a community of people who are helping one another in that avodas Hashem that happens on a daily basis, strengthen each other when they have weaknesses, and that's the goal, and especially of a young person. I just want to speak about the idea of chevra for a minute. There are different types of cultures. There's a type of a culture which is not conducive to growth, and there's a type of culture which is conducive to growth. When you're in school, then there are different types of schools which work different ways, but there are many times in school it's actually not conducive for growth because there's a lot of competition. Some of it is competition to be good at academically. Often there's competition a different way. Like if someone gets a really good grade, then they're sometimes embarrassed to share it. And the people who are cool are the ones who are not getting good grades. There's all different types of dynamics that go on. But something just super interesting is that they found there were kids who dropped out of school would find their home in skateboard and rollerblade parks. And they asked, and there they would invest a lot of time and energy to learn new tricks and new skills, going day after day, practicing again and again. And they went to interview, educators went to interview, how come in school these kids weren't willing to invest and weren't willing to practice? And when they got to the skate rink and all the sports oriented place, and they would try put in effort again and again, day after day, and they found that what the kids were saying was it depended on the culture. The culture in school was the culture of tests. And there's one kid who's better than another kid, and there's a competition, and there was showing off, and there was, it depends how they mark as well, but there's often grades and marking. There wasn't a culture necessarily of a positive peer pressure of everyone helping everyone else out to grow. However, when you go to the skateboard park, there is a very, very clear dynamic of everyone's learning new tricks. Anyone who knows a trick is very happy to help everyone else come in, be part of the chabura, be part of the friends, show you how to work out this trick, show you how to develop it. You don't know this trick, don't worry, I'll practice with you, I'll show you. They give you feedback, which is real feedback according to your real ability, not according to some made up paper which you don't know anything about. It's very clear that you're part of a society and a part of a group who all care about each other, want each other to grow, and it's all authentic and real. You are who you are. And that's why those kids there are willing to invest and develop. Now, what is yeshiva? That's really a choice, and that's really your choice. You as the chabur, that's your choice. What, being a group in yeshiva, you create the dynamic. Now I'm saying, as far as our yeshiva is concerned, we as a yeshiva, like a background yeshiva, we don't enforce one dynamic or the other dynamic. We don't enforce there be a positive peer pressure and that everyone feels that they're helping each other. We encourage it, but we don't enforce it in any way. We also don't enforce any system by where everyone's being judged and everyone judges everyone else. And we don't enforce that either. And then it's very much a question of the chevra. And this chevra who's developing, what's your mindset, what's your attitude, the way you relate to other people? If the way that you speak and the way that you relate is one that puts down anyone else in any manner who is not on your level exactly, then it will create a negative peer pressure where people will feel not worthy, even if they're trying their best and doing all they can do. If you create a peer pressure where everyone's growing and everyone is caring for everyone else's growth, you can create a group where you all are growing together and enjoy each other's company because you recognize that other person cares for you. I can say it myself personally, when I was in school, I was in a school which wasn't so yeshivish, one could say. And if anyone's been to my school, then you would clearly know that. And there, I was very much like on my own. I was very much like a lone individual doing my own thing. Which Jafka was a benefit for me because then I was able to then create my own development. I think that's part of the reason why I was able to stay in yeshiva, because I wasn't from a school where everyone's expected to do 2 years in yeshiva and then go back to university. I was anyway doing my own thing entirely. So once I was doing my own thing entirely, I might as well just stay forever in yeshiva. That's also fine because I'm anyway creating my own path. It was actually for me very, very beneficial. But my vision of yeshiva was one, I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, I imagine many people can, of one where I know who I am and I know what I want to be, and I'm looking for a culture where that's normal. I'm looking for a culture where there's other people with the same values, the same goals, the same drives that I have. And I wasn't finding it where I was. There was very, very different values where I was in high school. And I was looking forward to a time when I would be surrounded by a group of people who Avodah Hashem was a topic for them which is not being made fun of, but it's encouraged. And you can share about midas-orientated things, and people, there's who to speak to, there's an open ear, there's other people with the same values and goals and dreams, and it becomes a real topic of value. I was looking forward to that. When I came to yeshiva, I found there were many people like that, but not everyone. And I found that there were some people who I was quite uncomfortable to be around because they didn't have that vision that I had coming into yeshiva. And there was a sense of judgment. There was a sense of what your worth is depending on certain different factors that were placed in. And I felt very uncomfortable around those people. And those people just didn't become my social group. Right? They had their own social group. But it wasn't a building one. It wasn't one which encouraged other people to grow. It was one which, if you're part of that group, you're in, and if you're not, you're not, and it wasn't enabling other people to grow. It was cliquey in that sense. But then I found a social group of people who I felt very, very comfortable with, all of whom were growth-oriented people, and I could speak about Avodah Hashem and about Midas and about learning in a way where I wasn't feeling like I was being tested or judged at any moment, but rather I could grow. You decide that. The way that you speak and the way that you relate determines if that's your chevra or that's not your chevra. So when you come into yeshiva, you find yourself amongst a group of people who have that same drive, the same ideal, the same goals, which you hopefully were looking for in high school, maybe found it, maybe didn't find it. Come to a place like this, you have to ensure that you have it. And that you determine that. Yeshiva gives the environment for it. But how guys relate to each other, that will determine whether it will create a positive peer pressure of growth orientation. Amok v'libo, deep in one's heart, anyone who comes into yeshiva is really looking, as well as the spiritual experience, they're also looking for a social experience. Now that's obviously not his main goal. His main goal is spirituality. He wants to be learned and he wants to have Yirat Shamayim, but that often comes through the social group that you're in. The social group is the main factor which causes people to develop who they are. Seeing older people, seeing siblings, seeing friends. It's very hard to create a vision of who you want to be if you haven't got anyone to model. You haven't got anyone doing something similar to that. Now, it might not be necessarily your chevra in now. It might be someone older who you saw in the past. It might be a madrichah you once saw. It might be a book that you read about someone. But the way that we create our visions is through modeling. We see people who we say, I would like to be like that. I see that vision. Now, you don't necessarily have to be exactly like them. Because you have a different background and environment, but there are aspects, elements in what you see, which you like and you look up to, and you create that. Now you can create that in your social group. And what you're looking for is the type of people who you wish to model together. You wish to create a model of how you would like to grow together. And therefore it's essential in yeshiva to find a chabura tuva, to look for and create a group of friends who you feel are not poking fun at each other, are not jesting at each other. If you're going to take on something, you're not going to be made fun of because of that. But rather, it's a group of people who all encourage, without judging, without ridiculing, but just positively encourage spiritual growth. Now, yeshiva is not just a place of learning. It's a place of shleimut ha-chayim v'torah. But we're trying to create... I'll tell you an interesting story. There was many, many, many years ago. There was a program in Israel that people came out for where they would do most of the time in a kibbutz or in volunteering and development and all sorts of things, and they would also have a month or 2 months in yeshiva as part of their year experience, and they would come here to Keren Biavnim, and it was in Rav Goldberg's time, so they had a lot to complain about. Why is Shacharis so early? Why is Sadorim so long? Why are you learning not practical things? They had a lot of opinions about like how the order of yeshiva is. And once a group of them got together because they had enough of it and they weren't getting answers from the boys, and they asked to speak to Rav Goldberg, the Rosh Yeshiva. And like they wanted to present their griefs to the Rosh Yeshiva together. And they said, Arav, this is not what real life is about. And they had a whole like list of complaints about why a yeshiva isn't the way it's supposed to be. So Goldberg answered them in the following way. He said, when you come to a shop, then in the shop they have many, many, many different levels of merchandise, many different products. But in the window, they're always going to display their most ideal merchandise they have. Because they have to portray what the ideal is. When you come in, there's different sizes, there's larger sizes for larger people, for babies, there's a higher quality, lower quality. But of course, in the window, they're going to present what the ideal is. When you come to yeshiva, you're leading your ideal life. Now that ideal life may not be the ideal life you're able to lead once you leave yeshiva. Once you have a wife and you have children, once you have a business and parnassah that you have to take care of, it could be that the daily schedule that you have in yeshiva is absolutely unrealistic for your life continuing on. But if you haven't laid out ahead of time what you perceive to be the ideal, your store window, of how you, then even when you get to that, you won't be able to live up to it. Because you have to have created what your ideal is. It's a little bit like on Yom Kippur, we have a day where we act as an angel, not because we're expecting to be an angel throughout the year, but if we're not able to get a recognition of what our inner ratzon is, our inner will, on a day when we can disconnect from physicality, then throughout the year we won't have a goal to drive towards. We won't have a vision that we can look at. When you're in your world of yeshiva, the goal of yeshiva is to create an ideal sense of self, which there will always be the standard that throughout your life you can judge yourself on. Maybe time-wise will be less, maybe quality will be less, but you know who you are, you've defined who you are, you've recognized who you are, you're a Ben Torah, you're a Ben Yeshiva. So if someone comes to Yeshiva and their goal is just to learn how to read Gemara better, then they will get that. But they'll miss out on the Ikar, the main principle. The main principle is for one's self-vision to become one of a Ben Torah. That's the goal of Yeshiva. That you view yourself as a Ben Yeshiva, as someone who all their life is according to Halacha, and all their mindset is according to Yirat Shamayim. Now the form will change. The form will change when you're outside of yeshiva. The form will change when you're married. The form will change when you have a business. But you will always see yourself as a Ben Yeshiva, as a Ben Torah. And when you're creating more than the particular learning, you may forget a lot of Pesachim in future years. You may forget that. But what you won't forget, what's left an indelible impression on your heart, is how you view yourself having gone through yeshiva. I'm a Ben Torah, I'm a Ben Yeshiva, I'm someone who has Yirat Shamayim, I'm someone who follows Halacha. And although the form externally may change, that vision that I have of myself does not change. And that comes in a major way through the Chevron. Who your friends are, there's conversations that you have outside the Beis Medrash about how Yeshiva is going, about what your plans are. That forms what the Chevron forms, what the discussion amongst the Chevron, that's what forms your vision of who you are. Of course, that also comes to discussions with the Rebbeim, and also comes to the Sfarim you're learning. But where it sets, where it becomes who you are, is after you've read and after you've heard, and you sit with your friend at the end of the day, or you sit in the Chadar Ochel, or you sit in the Beis Medrash, and you have something burning in your heart, you want to discuss it, and you speak through your plan, that's where it becomes. I can tell you about myself personally. I had a roommate called Oren Solomon. I don't know where he is today. Probably in Beitar. I had a roommate called Oren Solomon, and he was from America. And he came to yeshiva also from a co-ed school. And he took yeshiva very seriously. And in Shana Aleph, we didn't really connect so much because we were in separate places. But then in Shana Bet, we were roommates. And we would, in the evening, have discussions. Discussions of our future, discussion of Avodas Hashem. He used to love me, says the Sharm, dream was to say that I learned something else. We'd discuss any interesting ideas that came out that we wanted to like take forward. Those discussions is where I decided to stay in yeshiva long term. From those discussions with Oren Solomon. That's where I initially decided to stay in Israel. And then after that, where I decided to stay on a yeshiva. Now, it was ideas that the seeds had been planted throughout the day in different meetings with different people, on different learnings, different discussions with the Rebbeim. It was the evening when I sat there with my roommate and we discussed, like, so what's your vision? Where are you headed? What's your future? What are you going to do in life? That's where it really set. That's where it became who I was. And that's because of the Chevron. That's where you imbue the ideas in a much deeper way. That's the goal of yeshiva. Shlemus hachayim v'torah. The yeshiva lomdim lichiot kamo shelomdim lilmod. Yeshiva is not just about learning how to learn. Yeshiva is about learning how to live. Your vision of yourself, your vision for the future of who you wish to be. V'chayim v'torah tofeses makom nechbad chevratiyim shel b'nei Torah. And the chevra aspect of it is what's going to be the major player in determining who that is and what that is long term. If you have 10 individual people who is sitting in the base medrash and learning Torah, but there isn't a love and a peace between them, their Torah is not complete. That's what the Gemara, the medrash says. This is a medrash which is very powerful. Not the same to have 10 people in the base medrash sitting where there's no connection between them and 10 people who are learning as a chabur. Now again, even learning as a chabur doesn't mean they have to learn the same thing. Doesn't mean they have to learn at the same pace. Doesn't even mean they have to discuss together. It just means the way that they form their group, that they've come to learn in the base medrash together because they see themselves as learners. A group of learning people. That will transform what's happening there. You'll see how it transforms it. The medrash says, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, the medrash discusses it, there was once a king who was angry with his servant and he put him in prison. The king took all of the ministers and all of the servants and he wanted to know what they were saying. And he heard them saying, Adoneinu HaMelech, Hu Shivcheinu, Hu Chayeinu, our king, he's our leader, he's our master, he's our praise, he's our lives. He said to them, Bini. Oh, Bini and my son Fern. How do you like that? Bini. Yes, Hanani. Beautiful. Bini. Hagbiu kolachem kadei shishmu chaverim shal gebeichem. Raise your voices so that other people can hear you as well. Kach. Af al pi shisro skim melachtan sheshes yamim. V'yom ha-shabbos mashkim ha-mavayim el beis ha-knesses. V'korim kriya shma. V'obrim lefnei ha-teiva. V'korim b'tor maftirim v'navi. V'akadosh Baruch omer lehem. Bini. Hagbiu kolachem kadei shishmu chaverim. V'ein chaverim ela malachei ha-shares. ותנו דעתכם שלא תשנאו זה את זה, ולא תקנאו זה את זה, ולא תחפרו זה את זה, ואל תביישו זה לזה, שלא יאמרו מלכי השרץ לבונו של עולם, תורה שנתת להם לישראל, אין אנו עסקים בה, הרי איבה וקינה וסינה מתאחלות ביניהם, ואתם מקיימים אותה בשלום. So the major says, and I'll say in my own words, when you have a group of people, a group of Jews, who come together, and they learn Torah, Hashem sees that as a model which the angels can learn from. And he says, raise your voices so the angels can hear you. The angels don't have free choice. They're doing it because they're programmed. They didn't think it was worthy of the Jewish nation being born and created because they had all sorts of claims that being lowly, having negative character traits, we wouldn't be able to fulfill the will of Hashem in this world. And when Hashem sees the Jewish people not learning Torah, but rather learning in a particular way, then he proves the angels wrong. And he says, come and look now what's happening. What does the angels say? If the angels come down and they see that there's Jews learning, but they don't get along, and they have competition between them, or anger or jealousy between them, that's not a group of people learning. The angels are right. You see, it wasn't worth giving the Torah to the Jewish people. But if the angels come down and they see the Jewish people learning in a chaburah, learning without jealousy, learning as the ideal group of people who all care about each other's growth, all care about each other's development, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the angels and says, you see, I was right. You see, they're able to do it. You see the value of a group that the Shekhinah comes down and dwells amongst the Jews when they're able to learn, but only if there's love amongst them. If there's love amongst us, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come down and dwell. Hadvarim Noraim. Im yesh midot ra'ot bein ha'oskim b'torah nikra ze ein oskim b'torah. If you medayek in the Medrash, then the angels say about the Jewish people, these people are not learning Torah. Ribono shel Olam, Torah natata lehem einan oskin ba. So the angels say to Hashem. But we're talking about where they are learning Torah. So why does it say they're not learning Torah? Because if their learning Torah hasn't been expressed in a way of having friendship amongst them, or if their learning Torah is expressed as a way of competition amongst them, that's not learning Torah. They're abusing the Torah for their own showing off how great they are. They're abusing the Torah to cause jealousy or arrogance amongst other people. That's not learning Hashem's Torah. That's abusing Hashem's Torah. But if the basis is we're all here together to grow close to Hashem, and we all care about each other, and we're willing to give up our own time to help other people grow in their learning, we're never showing off, oh, you didn't get that? Okay, I'll explain. We're not coming and saying phrases which make any other person feel lowly. Because our whole goal is as a chabura, as a group, learning together and growing. I remember once there was someone who wasn't religious, and I don't know how we got in touch with each other, and we were talking about many principles of Torah faith, and he couldn't understand why I was investing so much in him. Like, he thought I wanted money, and I said, no, I didn't need money, I'm just discussing Torah ideas. And he's like, so why are you taking out so much time to discuss these ideas? So I just said, it's simple. I love Torah and I love Hashem, and you're interested, you're one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, it's important to me that you have a desire to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have access to that you can tune in. I gave a mashal, I said, if I would have a phone and I discovered this amazing app that could do this most amazing thing, like, I would be so excited to share with you and say, look, did you download this app? This is a great app. Look, I would want to tell everyone about it. I love Hashem, and I love Hashem's Torah. And here I see someone who's interested, and I think there's potential there for them to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course I'm going to invest in it, because it's what my belief, it's the whole purpose of what being Jewish is, to spread the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to other people. Now, to, between me and you, that in theory should be even someone who doesn't have desire, that I should go out of my way to go and help those people. But especially when someone has shown a desire, they want to, of course I'm going to invest so much in it. That's Hashem's Torah coming down into the world. But if it would be a case of money or judgment or values or anything where it's at the expense of someone, I'm doing it for myself, and that's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah coming down. Einam oskim b'Torah, it says. But doing it from a way of competition. Anu hayinu miyachasim etzivuzeh shelo lishma. We wouldn't have read this medrash. And we would see people learning Torah with jealousy or with hatred or with competition. We would say they're learning lo lishma. That's what, how we would perceive it. We would say they're learning, but it's not lishma they're learning. They have other agendas. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chazal, when they're describing it, they say it's not even called learning Torah. Ki b'makom shol skim b'Torah be'chareyach mefatchim midot tovot v'shalom b'nehem. Because the real definition of a place where Torah learning is happening is it's natural and it's inbuilt that good midos will be developed. So if you're learning Torah and it's developing your good character traits, then you recognize you're learning Torah the right way. And if you're learning Torah and it's chas v'shalom making you more arrogant or lording yourself over other people, then you're not learning Torah. You're abusing Torah for your own case. I'll finish with one quote of the Gra. The Vilna Gaon says on the pasuk in Ha'azinu, Ketal Likhi, that the Torah is compared to moisture that comes down. And the Vilna Gaon says, what happens when it rains on the ground? What grows? It depends what you planted there. If you planted there seeds, sunflower seeds, then when the rain comes down, then sunflowers will come up. If there's thorns under them, then when the rain comes down, the thorns will come up. Meaning rain just produces more of what's innate. What's innate? If you come to yeshiva with the goal of perfecting your character traits, of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and part of that is creating a good chabura, friends who all wish to grow together, then the more Torah you learn, the more that will develop. You've planted seeds which are Yirat Shamayim. As you learn more Torah, more Yirat Shamayim develops. If Chas v'Shalom, a person comes to yeshiva where their whole goal is to show how much they know and to show how they're the best, then Chas v'Shalom, as they learn more Torah, that will develop more. The Torah will develop whatever's there. Your agenda has to be Yirat Shamayim. And that comes through a good chabura of people who are all that way orientated. Then the more Torah learning you do, it will refine and refine and refine, bringing you closer and closer to Hashem. Shakra. It's Marib now, and Dinah after Marib.